Okay, so we're going to continue on tonight with the Malacha of Makkah Patish. Basically, the game plan is like this. Last week, we worked on developing the basic principles of Makkah Patish. Tonight, we're going to continue developing the basic fundamental principles of Makkah Patish. And then, Mirtz Hashem, next week, we're going to jump into the practical shailas. We're going to spend a lot of time going through the sugya of bottle caps, learning through the poskim properly based on the principles that we establish. So that's the game plan for next week. Okay, so last week we set down the basic definition of Makkah v'Patish. We explained that the basic definition of Makkah v'Patish is any act of finishing the production of an item. When you're involved in making a certain item, and you do the act of gemar, you do the act of finishing up its production, so that would be the malach of Makkah v'Patish. And so we had, for example, the basic case in the Gemara is where, let's say, a craftsman weaves a garment, a professional weaves a garment, and after he basically finished the garment, there's some extra threads that are hanging out of the garment, and you just pull out those threads. So that would be an example of Makkah v'Patish. The garment was just about finished, but we have these extra threads that we're makbid on, that we care about in order to really call it a final product. When you pull out those threads, that would be the classic example of Makkah v'Patish. Now, tonight, we're going to have a little bit more of an on-the-daf style shiur, where we're going to analyze our sugi here now in Perek HaBona on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Rav Mishmuel ben Gamliel in our Mishnah teaches us a basic chiddush in Makkah v'Patish, which is going to be significant down the road. So we're going to spend today's shiur analyzing the chiddush of Rashbag with the associated Gemara on the Mishnah. So that's the goal for tonight. All right, so let's turn our attention now to our Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah here on Kuf Beis Amud Beis is the first Mishnah in our Perek, and it's teaching us about the basic malachos of Bona and Makkah v'Patish. So we already thoroughly analyzed the malacha of Bona, and now we're going to focus on the Makkah v'Patish aspect of the Mishnah. The Mishnah presents the halachas of Makkah v'Patish in two parts. In part number one of the Mishnah, in the Reisha, it just teaches us the basic halacha that if you do an act of Makkah v'Patish, if you finish the production of an item, that's chayiv no matter how little you do. Makkah v'Patish is chayiv b'chol shehu. Any small act of finishing up the production of an item, you yank out one small thread, doesn't matter, that is going to violate Makkah v'Patish. So that's the first part of our Mishnah on Kuf Beis. But then, in the Seifa of our Mishnah, so the Mishnah goes on to bring Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And this is the halacha we're going to focus on. The Mishnah tells us that Rashbag had said that if you're working on producing a certain kli, there's not only going to be an issue of Makkah v'Patish when you take your hammer and you deliver the final blow in producing that kli. That's not the only situation of Makkah v'Patish. Even if you just take your hammer and you bang it on the anvil, you bring it on the sedan, that also will be subject to Makkah v'Patish. That's the basic halacha of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Not only is banging the hammer on the kli Makkah v'Patish, even banging it on the anvil will also violate Makkah v'Patish. And we're going to spend tonight's shiur analyzing the parameters and the implications of this halacha of Rashbag. So that's the agenda for tonight. So to kick things off, we just have to ask ourselves, what exactly is the significance of banging a hammer on an anvil? What is being accomplished when you bang the hammer on the anvil, which is potentially violating Makkah v'Patish? So the Gemara itself asks this question on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph asks, what are you doing? What's so significant about banging the hammer on the anvil that Rashbag is being mechayev you for Makkah v'Patish? And there's a little bit of a shock of Atarya in the Gemara. We're just going to focus in on the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara in the Maskana brings Rava and Abaye, who explain that the significance of hitting the hammer on the anvil is that when a craftsman works on thin metals, when he's beating down a thin metal, there's an issue that arises that there's a concern that the hammer can develop sharp edges. It can develop rough edges, which can pierce and damage the kli, the thin metals that are being worked on. So the Gemara says that periodically, as the smith is working on the metals, he takes the hammer and he bangs it on the anvil to smooth out the rough edges in the hammer. He periodically bangs on the anvil, smooths out the rough edges in order to make sure he doesn't damage the metals when he's working on them. And the Gemara emphasizes that this process took place in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they would have merada detas, and they would have to beat down certain plates of gold. Some components of the Mishkan had to be covered with gold. So they beat down these pieces of gold into thin plates. And this issue arose that maybe the hammer is going to pierce the gold. So periodically they would bang the hammer on the anvil to smooth out the hammer to make sure to get rid of the sharp edges. Says the Gemara, that's the significance of this activity. Banging the hammer on the anvil smooths it out. That act of smoothing it out violates Makom HaPatish according to Rashbag. So that's the basic Chiddush now of Rashbag with the elaboration of the Gemara. What's the significance of hitting the hammer on the anvil? It's smoothing it out. Any questions? We good? Okay. Now, the big issue we now have to ask ourselves is the following. Yona, you have a question?
What does that have to do with the item itself?
Okay. So Yona's asking, what does this have to do with the item itself? I'm working on a certain item. What does banging the hammer on the anvil have to do with the item? So that's going to be the focus of the whole entire shiur, that issue. Okay, fine. So now the big issue that we have to deal with is as follows, ultimately Yonah's issue, but the Rishonim point out that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah actually argues on Rashbag. If you took a careful look at the Mishnah, so I pointed out that there are two parts to the Mishnah. The Reisha just tells us, Yerchayev for Makom HaPatish, and then the Seifa brings us Chiddush of Rashbag. And the Rishonim understood that the fact that the Rashbag is being presented almost as an afterthought, as an additional point, indicates that he's actually arguing on the Tanakhama. Tanakhama argues on this idea that banging the hammer on the anvil violates Makom HaPatish. And the question becomes, what's the pshat, what's the explanation now behind the Tanakhama who's arguing on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? So that's the issue we now have to work on. So in order to develop the Shitas Tanakhama now, we have to move over to the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Alf. The Mishnah, we're going to learn the Mishnah up with Rashi and the Ritva, and we're going to develop a Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand the Tanakhama Shita in arguing on Rashbag. Fine. So moving over to Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Alf. The Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel is the big turning point in the Masechta. The first half of the Masechta deals with other Shabbos-related inyanim primarily. And Daf Ayin Gimel is where the Mishnah starts its concentrated discussion of the Malachos. And it kicks off by telling us our Lamites Malachos. And the Mishnah there on Daf Ayin Gimel gives us our list of Lamites Malachos. And Rashi made a very innocent statement that sparked the whole shock of Atarya in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Because the Mishnah there, as expected, lists Makom HaPatish according as one of the Lamites Malachos, banging with the hammer. And Rashi innocently comes to give us an example of Makom HaPatish, and it's going to spark a whole controversy. Rashi says, what would be an example of this Av Malacha of Makom HaPatish? If after the craftsman is working on his utensil, he takes his hammer and bangs it on the anvil and smooths it out, that would be an example of the Malacha of Makom HaPatish. That's Rashi's simple observation of this Mishnah, simple explanation. Makom HaPatish would be if after the craftsman's working on his utensil, he bangs the hammer on the anvil, smooths it out, that is Makom HaPatish. So Dov is asking, is Rashi saying that we're smoothing out the hammer or the anvil? So we're saying we're smoothing out the hammer. Rashi is saying banging the hammer on the anvil smooths out the hammer, and that is going to be Makom HaPatish. Comes along the Ritva and a number of Rishonim, and they ask on Rashi that this is a terrible example of the Av Malacha of Makom HaPatish. Why are you giving an example that's subject to controversy? It's true that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, banging the hammer on the anvil violates Makom HaPatish, but the Tanakhama argues on Rashbag. We just got through saying Tanakhama rejects this Chiddush of Rashbag. Hating the hammer on the anvil does not violate Makom HaPatish. And so why are you giving an example that's not universally subscribed to? Give an example that everyone agrees to. When you give the last hit on the kli itself, so that would be a safe, conservative example that everyone would agree to. Why is he sticking his head, so to speak, in the middle of the Machlokes Tanoim when he should just give a simple, universally accepted explanation of the Mishnah? So that's the big kasha that the Ritva and the Rishonim are bothered by with Rashi's comment here on this Mishnah. And the question becomes, how to defend Rashi against the kasha of the Rishonim? Eitan.
Sorry, just a clarification. Can we mention why the Rabbanan
Because the Eitan is asking, did we explain yet why the Rabbanan are saying it's not Makom Patish? So we're not explaining yet. We're first just laying out the Shita of the Tanakhama, and then we're going to come back and analyze. Fine. So the Chassam Sofer and the Rishash, they both give the same defense for Rashi. I put on the Mar Makom with the Chassam Sofer. Rishash also is in the back of the Gemara. He gives the same basic resolution. They say as follows, that to defend Rashi, we're now going to have to take a closer look at what exactly is the Shita of the Tanakhama in arguing on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Ritva, in asking his kasha on Rashi, is clearly understanding that the Tanakhama fully rejects the Shita of Rishbag. Rishbag was Mechadish, hitting the hammer on the anvil, violates Makom Patish, and Tanakhama outright rejects the Shita of Rishbag, that is not Makom Patish. And so therefore the Ritva is asking in Rashi that that's not a good example of Makom Patish. Says the Chassam Sofer and the Rishash, that to defend Rashi, so we're going to have to explain that Rashi has a different interpretation of the Tanakhama. That according to Rashi, that the Tanakhama does not fully reject the notion of the Rishbag. The Tanakhama is not fully against this idea that hitting the hammer on the anvil to smooth it out can violate Makom Patish, but they're going to accept it. They're going to accept it with moderation. The Tanakhama says that it depends on when exactly you hit the hammer on the anvil. If at the end of working on the utensil, you give one last clap on the anvil to smooth out the hammer, then the Tanakhama is going to agree that that's going to violate Makom Patish. At the Gemar Malacha, when you're just about to finish and you bang the hammer to smooth it out one last time, then the Tanakhama is going to agree that that's going to violate Makom Patish. But the Tanakhama says, what if it's in the midst of working on the kli? What if while you're in the middle of working on the kli, so you periodically, the smith periodically bangs the hammer on the anvil to make sure he doesn't damage the kli as he's working on it. So that's going to be the issue between Tanakhama and Rashbag. Tanakhama says that I'm not willing to go that far. I'm not going to say that hitting the hammer on the anvil in the midst of working on the kli is Makom Patish. Makom Patish is about finishing. It's about concluding. When you bang the hammer in the midst of working on the kli, this is not an act of finality. It's not an act of finishing. That is not Makom Patish. Rashbag is apparently being mechadish that even that is Makom Patish. Even banging the hammer on the anvil in the midst of working on the kli is also subject to Makom Patish. That is how the Chassam Sofer and the Rishash reinterpret the Tanakhama according to Rashi. That Tanakhama does not fully reject the Shita of Rashbag. He accepts it in moderation. If you hit it at the very end, then we'll accept your Chiddush, but not in the midst. Now, based on this interpretation of the Tanakhama, so the Achorim say, we now understand Rashi's comment on Daf Ayin Gimel. When Rashi is giving us an example of the Av Malacha, of hitting with a hammer, of Makom Patish, Rashi had said, if you take a careful look, his lashon was, Bishas Gemar Malacha, when the Uman, when our smith hits the anvil, Bishas Gemar Malacha, when he's finishing up working on the kli, so that's going to be Makom Patish. That's a perfectly fine example. Everyone agrees, if at the end of working on the kli, you smooth out the hammer on the anvil, that's going to be Makom Patish. The only controversy was, what about in the middle? But at the end, everybody agrees. And so this is a perfectly fine example of Makom Patish. So those are the basic facts now in today's sugya. We're developing different shitas now on this chiddush of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So we'll stop now for questions, then we'll just summarize, and then we're going to start the conceptual analysis. Yona, yeah, question?
It's sort of an extension of what I asked previously, but it's like a little bit more now. I feel like the hitting it after you finish the malacha. So again, I come back to what I said before, that it's not already at that point, you're no longer working on the object itself. I would think that maybe like the last, like if you hit it a set, like you hit it on the anvil and then you're going to go ahead and.
Okay, so Yona's asking that. Are you asking on the Rashbag? Like, are you asking the Chiddush of Rashbag?
Yeah.
I expected that, right? If Yona was not happy with the basic Chiddush of Rashbag at the end, then in the middle, like, what's going on? So that's we're going to try to address that. Ben?
So Rashbag's Chiddush is that, even though it's not his kind, it's still
valid? Ben is asking, what is the Chiddush of Mishum and Megamliel? Does it have to do with the fact that it's not miskaim, it's not a permanent impact. So we're gonna try to address the Chiddush of Rashbag when we start the conceptual analysis. Yeah, so Ben is pointing out that the previous issue in the Mishnah talks about doing a malacha that's a permanent malacha. So we're gonna try to address the Chiddush of Rashbag when we start the conceptual analysis. Penny is asking, were they arguing in the Metzias of what happened in the Mishkan? They're probably not arguing in the Metzias about what happened in the Mishkan. Everyone agrees that the craftsmen of the Mishkan would bang on the kli, would bang on the anvil, but the question was how to classify the significance of that activity, that whole procedure that took place. So what kind of significance do we give to the different components of that operation? Is the significance hitting on the metal? Is there even significance attributed to hitting on the anvil? So it's not a machlokas and metzias, it's a machlokas how to classify the significance of the operation that took place in the Mishkan. Okay, fine. So there are a lot of inquisitive looks. It's a hard sugya. So let's just summarize the shittas and then we're gonna start the analysis. So just to sum up, we're discussing the shita of the chiddush of Reshbag. Reshbag taught us that hitting the hammer on the anvil violates makav patish. What's the significance? You're smoothing it out, the Gemara says, smoothing out the rough edges. And we asked, what's the shita of the Tanakama? And we had a machlokas. We showed him now two approaches. What's the Tanakama's response to Reshbag? Approach number one is the Ritva. Ritva holds that the Tanakama fully rejects this chiddush of Reshbag. There's no concept of hitting an anvil being subject to makom patish, whereas according to Rashi, so Rashi is explaining the Achronim, is learning that the Tanakama does accept the chiddush in moderation if you do hit it at the very end. And so now we're going to have two issues to analyze, two significant issues to analyze in this machlokas. The first issue that needs to be analyzed is just to figure out what's the hesber in this machlokas. What's the conceptual basis for the different shittos in this machlokas? If you notice, we're having three different perspectives, three different shittos on hitting the hammer on the anvil. Shita number one is the shita of the Tanakam Lufi, the Ritva, that it's never subject to Makav Patish. Shita two is the Ritva, is Rashi in the Tanakama, that it is sometimes Makav Patish at the very end. Shita number three is the Reshbag, that even in the midst of working on it, it's always Makav Patish, whether you hit the anvil at the end, whether you hit the anvil in the middle. Three different shittos on if and when smoothing the hammer on the anvil is subject to Makav Patish. And the question becomes, what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for these three different shittos? Penny. So Penny is saying, maybe the question has to do with Derech Tashmisho. So the Binyan Shabbos is a very chashev sefer, analyzes this machlokas through the lens of Derech Tashmisho. We once had an idea that if you do something on a regular basis, so it's maybe it's not subject to bona and maybe makav patish. The Binyan Shabbos does analyze this machlokas through the lens of Derech Tashmisho. We're going to bring that up at the very end. But I'm going to present the way that Rabbi Soloveitchik explained this machlokas, Rabbi Soloveitchik from Yeshiva, how he was mazur with this machlokas. Okay, so Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that this machlokas is now going to come down to a basic refinement in the definition of makav patish. What we now need to do is take a closer look at the exact definition of the malacha of makav patish. We pointed out last week that the basic definition of makav patish, the basic definition of makav patish is finishing the production of an item. When you do an act of finishing production of an item, so that is the basic definition of makav patish. And we had some refinements last week as to the exact definition, but that was the basic yesod. Now, the question is now going to become to give a more refined definition as to what exactly we mean by finishing the production of an item. Because the truth of the matter is, there's a whole operation, there's a whole procedure that goes into producing an item. You don't just snap your fingers and produce the item. You have to take out your tools, you work on it in stages, and you complete this, you know, you complete the whole process at the very end. And so we now have to take a closer look at what we mean by finishing the production of an item in order to set down the real definition of makav patish. So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that there are really three different perspectives that could be taken for how to understand the definition of makav patish. I'm just going to go through each shita one by one and show how he explained each of the three shitas. Starting with the shita of the Tanakama Lefi the Ritva, the Tanakama Lefi the Ritva totally rejects the chiddush of the Shlomo ben Gamliel. He says that there's never makav patish when you hit the hammer on the anvil. So that shita is really just self-understood. He is simply holding that makav patish is finishing up the item itself. When you finish producing the item itself, so that is makav patish, as Yonah had pointed out. But when I'm banging my hammer on the anvil, that is external to the item that I'm working on. That is a peripheral operation that I'm doing. And so that's not going to have anything to do with makav patish. When you finish an object, that's makav patish. Banging my hammer on the anvil has nothing to do with this fixing up the object. That's not going to be makav patish. That's just the basic shita of the Tanakam Lefi Mishimon Ben Gamliel. Let me just spell it three sheets, then we'll stop for questions. Fine. I'm really not saying much. The real issue that has to be explained is the Shita of Rashi in the Tanakama. Let's start with Rashi now in the Tanakama. Rashi in the Tanakama is telling us that hitting the hammer on the anvil is sometimes Makav Patish. If you hit it at the very end, that is Makav Patish, not in the middle. The question becomes, what is the Hezber behind the Shita of Rashi? Anyone want to suggest a Hezber behind the Shita of Rashi? Where's the Makav Patish in banging the hammer on the anvil? Yonah. Okay, you just said it. You just mamish said the exact hasbro that Rishavetchik just pointed out. Rishavetchik said that Rashi is going to hold that Makav HaPatish is not limited to completing an object, to finishing an object. That will certainly be Makav HaPatish, but that's not the only definition of Makav HaPatish. There's a broader concept of Makav HaPatish, and that is that anytime you finish up a process, anytime you're finishing up the process of working on an object, that's also subject to Makav HaPatish. See, when you work on this kli that you're working on, there's a whole procedure, there's a series of steps and stages that go into working on the item. You take out your tools, you put it on the anvil, you work on it, the whole series of stages of how you work on it on the anvil. And then at the very end, so you give your last clap on the kli, but that's not it. After the dentist finishes his work, so you put your stuff away, you clean up your tools and you put them away. So it's true, Rashi is certainly going to agree, when you give that last clap on the object, that will certainly be Makav HaPatish. But while it is true that you're finishing up the object when you give that last clap, the process isn't technically done. The process still involves cleaning up your tools and putting them away. When you give that last clap, you now have rough edges in your hammer. It's normal, the normal procedure is now to give one last clap on the anvil to smooth out the hammer before you put the hammer away and call it a day. So Rashi is going to hold that the significance of hitting the hammer on the anvil is that it's completing the process of working on the kli. An act of completing a process, finishing a process, is also subject to Makav HaPatish. That is the Shita of Rashi in the Tanakam. Let me just spell out the Shita now of the Reshbag, and then we'll stop for questions. So now the question, fine. So let's move over now to the Shita of the Reshbag. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is now telling us an even bigger Chiddush, that not only is hitting the hammer on the anvil at the very end subject to Makav HaPatish, he's going to say even when you periodically hit the hammer on the anvil throughout the process of working on the kli, that's also subject to Makav HaPatish. So now the question becomes, so what's the Hezber behind Reshbag? Why in the world is there Makav HaPatish when you periodically hit it throughout the process of working on the kli? What happened to the idea of finishing? So what's the pshat behind the Shita of Reshbag? So anyone want to give an explanation? Yonah's going to try to be 3 for 3 right now. Yonah?
Maybe it's looking at it through the lens of the hammer. You're doing the process that you're now finishing off is you're sort of fixing up the hammer.
Yonah's saying maybe the Makav HaPatish should be the fact that I'm fixing up the hammer, that I have a hammer that's broken and I'm fixing it up. Maybe that should be the Makav HaPatish. So we're going to spend a significant amount of time addressing that point of Yonah, but I'm going to respond to Yonah's insight, which is very important. It's going to have major halachic ramifications. But if it has to do with fixing up the hammer, I'm going to address that afterwards. Yonah is making a very good point, but we'll come back to that. So the way Rav Soloveitchik explained the Shita of Reshbag is as follows. Reshbag is going to hold that along the lines we just said in the Tanakama, that even finishing up a process is also subject to Makav HaPatish. But the Reshbag is going to break down the operation into stages, that when you work on a kli, so there are different stages in the production of a kli. Rashi on Kof Gimel points out that there was a regular series of blows that they would give to the kli before hitting on the anvil. They would do 3 on the kli, 1 on the anvil. 3 on the kli, 1 on the anvil. There was a certain procedure, there were certain stages, a series of sequences for how they worked on developing the kli. Reshbag is going to hold that we break down our development of a kli into stages. There are different stages in the production of a kli. Even finishing up each stage in the process is also going to be subject to Makav HaPatish. Hitting the sadin throughout working on the kli is the completion of a different stage in the production of the kli. 3 on the kli, 1 on the anvil, 3 on the kli, 1 on the anvil. And Reshbag is being mechadish that even that is subject to makke v'patish. So it's coming out that there's a very significant machlokas now on a conceptual level as to what exactly is the definition of makke v'patish. The first sheet is holding that it's specifically finishing up the object itself. Our second sheet is saying that it's finishing up a process, even finishing up the process, you know, cleaning up your tools at the very end, so to speak, giving it last clap on the anvil is subject to makke v'patish. And our third sheet is now telling us that not only is finishing up the whole process makke v'patish, but even finishing up stages in the process is also subject to makke v'patish. So let's now stop for some questions before we get to Yonah's very important point from before. Yonah.
So even like going according to Rashi, saying that it's a process.
Yes, okay.
I get, so if you're going according to the item, when the item is finished, so you could say that there's that once the item is wearable or whatever, any action that's done to correct it would be not compliant. But at this point, you're talking about the process. So what would be the parameters that end the process?
Okay, Yonah's asking. When do we call it the end of a process, and when is it called an external activity? You know, when you put your tools in your bag, that's not called finishing up the process. So that is a difficult question to define. In this situation, there's a certain intuition that you know when you give that last clap on the kli, you just need to give one last clap on the anvil to finish up the procedure. It's hard to apply it to other situations, to be honest. Daniel.
Yeah. So two questions. One, according to the Rajba and the Tanakama, wasn't the paradigm of the Malacha Makke v'Patish? So how can you say that? Wasn't the paradigm of Makke v'Patish the anvil case? So then, how could that not fit into Makke v'Patish?
You're asking why is there no Makke v'Patish in hitting the anvil?
Yeah. To the first isn't that the paradigm?
So the paradigm is a little confusing. The original case of Makke v'Patish was in the Mishkan when they were working on the Kalim. And they were using their hammer to finish up the kalim. Now, there's no machlokas in Mitzias. Certainly, they gave one last hit on the kli itself. And in some instances, they also hit the anvil. But the question is, what is the paradigm? What's the significance of that whole procedure in the Mishkan? Tanakama, Lefi the Ritva, our first sheet is holding that we don't ascribe any significance to hitting the anvil. What's that doing? That's just external to the kli you're working on. Makke v'Patish is finishing up the kli itself. That's an external activity. So that's just not Makke v'Patish. Our third sheet, the Rishbag and Rashi are holding, our second sheet they're holding, that no, there's significance subscribed to that activity as well.
Okay, and I guess secondly, what's the creative significance of these the process? Meaning, one of the reasons that Tosfos is bothered by carrying it, that's Malacha Grua, because you didn't do anything. Hey. Like, so within that framework, what have you done?
Okay, so Daniel is asking, what's the creative significance of Makke v'Patish in general or hitting the anvil, you mean?
Let's say according to the Tanakhama and the second sheet, or according to Rashbag.
If I give my last hit on a kli, are you okay with that being creative and productive?
Absolutely, because you've made something.
We're okay with that being creative and productive.
Right. It's just the parts of the process should just be bonus, not.
What's so creative about hitting my hammer on the anvil? Why is that called creative?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess after a hard day at work, you feel pretty good about yourself, you know, when you go home.
You know? Yeah, I mean that's just part of Bona, right? Would you say in Bona if I don't know, we can come up with a million other examples, but okay, process is a Bona.
There's no question that this is a major chiddush. Just to put things into perspective, the starting point is that Rashi needs to be understood, that Rashi's telling us hitting the hammer on the anvil is a makke v'patish at the very end. And you know, we gotta figure out what's pshat. So certainly whatever we're gonna be saying is gonna be we're overextending ourselves. To say Chiddush and Rashi, so anything you ask is, you know, you're right and we're wrong, so to speak. You're right. We're saying a hard shot, but we're saying it mitoch hadoche. Just why else would it be makke v'patish? If you want to give another shot. Not to put you on the spot.
No. It sounds like you've just described the parts of Bona or whatever. When you're in the midst of producing something, there are many steps. And those steps aren't independently significant. Okay. They're just parts of the process.
The question is well taken. Daniel's bothered what's so productive about finishing up the, you know, this process. But on a basic level, there seems to be just, you know, we don't just look at it at the object itself, but there's a whole procedure that went into the object and just finishing up the procedure. When you finished up a whole operation, that's also considered to be significant in a much more abstract type of way. The question is well taken. The shot is being given. Yeah.
Okay.
Mitoch hadoche. Okay, fine. Okay, now we need to come to Yonah's question. Yonah asked a very, very important, he made a very, very important point, and this question is going to have major ramifications in the halacha. It's relatively clear from the way we analyzed the whole sugya that the only possibility of there being makar patish, of hitting the hammer on the anvil, is in relation to the kli that you're working on. That, you know, the, let's say our second approach, or the second sheet that was holding, that when is there makar patish, when you hit the anvil? At the very end. If you're at a very specific point in time, at the end of working on the kli, there's makar patish. And we're trying to struggle to figure out what the pshat is, but the way Rasavejic explained that you're finishing up the process, and that itself is the significance of hitting the hammer on the anvil. The first sheet totally rejects this idea that hitting hammer on the anvil violates makar patish. Now, the big question that has to be addressed, though, is why am I having sheetahs that are telling me that hitting the hammer on the anvil is not makar patish? Why, according to my second sheetah, is it only makar patish in a very specific situation because I'm finishing up the process of working on the kli? What about the fact that I have a broken hammer that I'm fixing? I have a hammer that develops some rough edges. I'm banging it on an anvil to smooth out those rough edges. Why is that not makar patish in and for itself? Why is it only makar patish at the very end of the process, according to our second approach? Anytime I take my hammer out of my closet and I see a rough edge and I smooth it out, I'm taking a broken hammer, I'm fixing it. That should be makar patish, even if it's in the middle. Even while you're in the middle of working on the kli, as Yonah had pointed out, so I'm working on my kli, I give it three claps on the kli, one time on the anvil. Let that also be makar patish according to Rashi, because I had a broken hammer that I just fixed when I smashed it on the anvil. And why is the first sheet that's totally rejecting this idea that fixing the hammer is not makar patish? Forget about the kli you're working on. It's true, it's external to the kli. I have a broken hammer that I'm fixing. Why is that not makar patish? That is the major question that has to be addressed to analyze this issue. Now, Yonah was suggesting that maybe that's exactly pshat behind our third sheetah. Our third sheetah says that anytime you hit the hammer on the anvil, that's makar patish. And Yonah had said, maybe because of this exact point, I have a broken hammer, I'm fixing it. So Rishbag says that anytime you hit the hammer on the anvil, that's makar patish. So the issue with that is that, first of all, our first two sheetahs are giving much more limited acceptance to this idea that hitting the hammer on the anvil is makar patish. And you always want to minimize machloksim in the Tanoim. And additionally, even Rashbag himself in the third sheetah, it's still mashba, he's limiting it to hitting the anvil in the middle of the process. Otherwise, he should just tell me when you pull it out of a closet and you smooth out a hammer, that's makar patish. It sounds like it's while you're working on the kli, different stages in the kli, that hitting the anvil is makar patish. Even our third sheetah doesn't really seem to be saying that fixing a broken hammer is makar patish. So that is my complicated response to Yonah's question, but it's a very good question. So the question now becomes, so what's the answer to this question? Anyone else want to just give another chance? Anyone else want to try to figure this out? Why is it not makar patish when you're fixing a broken hammer? Okay, Yonah?
Maybe because the hammer was already a completed item. And you're now
100%. 100%. Okay, Yonah is on fire tonight. It's a question on all three sheetahs. Our first sheet says you're never chayav makar patish for hitting the anvil. Our second sheet is saying only at the very end. What about in the middle? I took a broken hammer and I fixed it. And even our third sheet I'm pointing out, our third sheet still implies that while you're working on the kli in the different stages, it's makar patish. But it sounds like if you just pull out a hammer from your closet and you bang it on the anvil, it's not going to be makar patish. That impression we get from the third sheetah, it's not absolutely clear, but that's the impression you kind of get from the third sheetah. The way we show them describe Rashbag is they're describing the case as being while you're working on the kli, as opposed to just taking out a broken hammer from your closet and fixing it. So the question becomes, why is it not makar patish? Yonah gave the very important answer to this question. The Rav Nissen Kaplan, I quoted it last time, he has a very important sefer on Perek Abona, and he gives this basic resolution to this question, which is going to be the most important halacha l'maisa component of makar patish. This is going to be the key principle that's going to govern whether just about any shaila is or is not makar patish. So we pointed out, the principle is as follows. We pointed out that makar patish is finishing up the production of an item. It's not just fixing something, it's finishing up making something. When something's in the process of being made, and you do that last stage in the process, we just had a three-way hakira, what exactly we mean by finishing. But at the end of the day, once you totally finish everything, So that is makom patish, finishing up the object, finishing up the process. That's makom patish. After an object is fully done now, it's been fully complete. So let's say now it develops some blemishes, it develops some imperfections. If I fix that up, is that makom patish? If I have a fully made complete object and it develops some blemishes, is that makom patish? So it's going to depend on the following question. The question is as follows, and this is the question that is going to govern every single shaila in makom patish, except for, unless you're, you know, in a plant manufacturing something where makom patish will be quite obvious. You go to the last stage in the assembly line, and that'll be a violation of makom patish. But any household item that we have at home, as to if you're going to have makom patish, is going to go through the lens of the following question. After something is being complete, and it develops some blemishes, it develops some imperfections, the question becomes whether those blemishes take away the shem kli, whether the blemishes are profound enough to take away from the functionality, to take away from defining it as a kli. If the blemishes are profound enough that we no longer call this a functional operative utensil, so then it's as if it's broken, it's as if it's no longer created. When I then fix it up, that's called creating it from scratch. That's called making a new item. So if you have, you know, in any given situation, I'm not gonna give a specific case as of right now, but we're gonna give a case soon. But if you have a certain situation where you have an object that got some blemishes and you're just fixing it up, if we don't consider those blemishes to be significant and you just, you know, you just fix it up a little bit, that's not called makom patish. That's not producing something. It's already been produced. It's maintenance. You're maintaining the object. That's not called producing something. It's only a problem makom patish if the blemish is significant enough that it loses its shem kli, loses its status as a utensil. And so as the Achronim point out, when it comes to our hammer, we're going to say that these rough edges that the hammer develops do not take away the shem kli. They're not significant enough to take away its status as a hammer. It's still considered to be a perfectly functional hammer. It's true in a very specific example, in a very specific instance, using it on very fine metals, it's not necessarily the most productive hammer, but it's still a perfectly fine hammer. It's going to work on in many other situations. It's not going to upend the shem kli. It doesn't lose its status as a hammer, and therefore it's not a problem. And Rabbi Soloveitchik emphasized when he said over this basic yisod, he didn't quote Rabbi Nissen Kaplan, but when he said over this yisod, he emphasized the point that Pinny made earlier on, that this blemish in the hammer is occurring based on the normal usage of the hammer. The hammer, as it's used, develops these small imperfections that need to be fixed up to keep the maintenance of the hammer. The fact itself, that it's this blemish is developed through its normal usage, and the normal usage involves fixing it up periodically, reflects the fact, proves that it didn't lose its status of a hammer. That's how you use a hammer. You use a hammer by using it and maintaining it, using it, maintaining it. That's not called fixing up a broken hammer. That's called maintenance of a perfectly fine hammer. And so that's not going to be an issue of makom patish. So that's the big time yesod, which is just about the most practical yesod in all of makom patish. As if any issue arises, whether it's makom patish, fixing up glasses, fixing up anything that breaks, or you know, any small tchotchke in the house, as if it's makom patish, has to go through the lens of this shaila. Did it lose the shem kli? Is it not functional? Is it not operative? In which case, when you fix it up, you're now producing it from scratch. As opposed to if it is functional, just okay, it has a few blemishes. So then that's not going to be called makom patish. Okay, I'll stop for questions. Then we'll point out a very interesting application of this yesod. Ben? Ben is asking, does everyone agree that fine-tuning a musical instrument is makom patish? So it depends. So it depends on how broken it is. We have to figure that out. There is an issue of fixing musical instruments. And once again, we're talking about a case where they're broken to the point where it's not an operative, utensil. If you have a guitar and one of the strings is missing, so I wouldn't invite that guy for the Hanukkah Masiba and Yeshiva. Everything's going to be high notes and he's going to miss that low note too many times. No, but I don't find, whatever you're fine tuning it. Okay, so we have to figure that out. But I'm setting down the principle. Obviously, now you need to take the principle in all the applications and figure out when does it lose its status? When does it not lose its status? Eitan, you had a question? How does Rav Nissen Kaplan go with Rashi in the Rabbanan or Reshbag? So Rav Nissen Kaplan or Soloveitchik, what they're all explaining is as follows, that hitting the hammer on the anvil is not makom patish due to fixing the hammer. Fixing the hammer is not makom patish because the blemishes on the hammer don't upend its status as a hammer. Why then is there still makar patish when you hit the anvil? Because of the process. You're finishing up the process of working on the kli. You know, I give one last clap on the anvil and finishing up the kli, and that is the significance of hitting the anvil. Or Rishpak had stages. Daniel Free was not so happy with that chiddush, but that was the way Rav Soloveitchik explained it, and that's exactly why I explained it that way. It's not fixing up the hammer. That's the makar patish. It's not fixing up a broken hammer. It's all from the perspective of the kli that ascribes significance to hitting the hammer on the anvil. Now, just to point out a very interesting application of this yesod, so Rosh Zalman was once asked the following shaila. The question becomes, let's say you have a plastic cup that gets scrunched up and you want to just pop open the plastic cup. Or let's say a person has a hat and the hat gets crushed and you want to pop open the hat. So what's the halacha in that situation? Is this a shaila, is it an issue of makar patish? I crushed my plastic utensil and I just popped it open. My hat got sat on, and now I pop it open. Can you do that on Shabbos? That was the question that Rosh Zalman was asked. So he actually says very interestingly that he was asked this question many times. He says he gets this question all the time. What's the halacha in this situation? And Rosh Zalman answered based on this basic yesod that it's not makar patish, because since this happens regularly, that in the regular usage of a plastic cup, or in the regular Shabbos usage of a hat, it happens that it gets crushed a little bit and you pop it out. So that's not taking away its status as a kli. Since this is the normal way you use a cup, the normal way you have a cup in the house, the normal wear and tear that a cup in the house on the shelf is going to go through, the normal wear and tear that a hat's going to go through doesn't upend the status of a hat. It's going to be called maintenance. It's not going to be called producing a new item. So this is just an interesting practical application of this yisod, just like by the hammer, since it's just the normal way you use the hammer is to get these small imperfections, that's called maintenance. So Rosh Zalman and Paskin, the same thing applies to a plastic cup or to a hat. Okay, so we're gonna Eitan asked, but you can't use the hat anymore. But that's Rosh Zalman is saying that since this happens on a regular basis, through the regular wear and tear of a hat, it gets popped in, you pop it back out, especially if it's not a brand new hat, it happens. So that's considered to be regular wear and tear that doesn't upend its status, even though technically, I can't use it right now. It'd be very, it turns into your Xiaomi hat, when someone sat on it. But okay, any questions?
No, a question. According to the Shita that banging the hammer on the anvil is the finishing of the process. So if you're making something that with a hammer, but you don't, and you complete the kli, but you don't bang the hammer on the anvil, would that still be considered makar patish?
Because Dr. Platt is asking if hitting the hammer on the object is makar patish. If I don't give one last clap on the anvil, just right, finishing up the object itself. So that certainly would be makar patish. Certainly, anytime you finish up an object, Rashi is being mechadish that even hitting it on the anvil also is makar patish. Let's just take the question from Zoom, if you don't mind. Any last question in Zoom? Okay, fine. We have Marv now, so I think mine will.
Can you hear me?
Sorry,
can I ask a question?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Just to clarify from last week, we said that one of the approaches to makar patish was that perfecting an already completed kli could still be considered makar patish. So is it different here because it was already in that state 100%. And then it was reduced? And
that was a very sharp question. So Ari is asking that last week we had a shita that held makar patish is defined as perfection. So isn't this perfection when I just fix up some blemishes in my hammer? That's what you're asking, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yes, so the answer is, again, exactly what you just said, that it's perfection in the production of an item. When I'm producing it and I fine-tune it to manufacture it, that is makar patish. Once it's been fully produced, fully perfected, and then it's a shem kli, and now it's an operative utensil, so even if it develops some imperfections, if it doesn't take away the shem kli, that's not called producing it. It has to be perfecting it through its production. When you're producing it and you're fine-tuning it in producing it, that is makar patish. So it's a good question. You hear the answer?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, Shreich, thank you very much for joining us. Next week in Mitzvah Shem, we're gonna go through the sugya of bottle caps in depth. The whole Mar Makomis is all just Shaila's Teshuvah Sfarim for next week. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, have a great Shabbos.